Thank you, Jay, and that was really good. Thank you. Ask you a question tonight, okay? How many of you, just you're going to be honest with me, just raise your hand. Say, I'll be honest with you, brother. None of you. Hardly. Okay, how many of you ever get angry? I mean, just literally get angry, okay? All right, does anybody mind just sharing with us what you get angry about? What do you get angry about? What makes you angry? When your kids don't listen. Okay? My dad, whenever we were riding in the car, my dad got to where he could reach back. We had an old Ford Galaxy 500. Y'all remember those cars? I would love to have that car today. My dad reached back and he'd be sitting here. He'd reach back behind the driver's seat and grab one head and just swap them, and you know, our head would just pop over, and we wouldn't listen to my dad. And he's on my side. What else do you get angry about? Drivers, you get road rage? Okay. What do you get angry about? Okay, it kind of incenses your anger when kids are not treated well, abused children. That's a hot button. My brother, I grew up with a brother who had a severe stuttering problem. I mean, he'd answer the phone and he'd say, and then he'd say, yeah. He couldn't say hello. You know, he just had a real bad stuttering problem. So whenever I would see people being picked on, I'd get really angry about that. I could get in a lot of trouble over that, too. What else makes you angry? Okay. There's a lot of anger in our country for the way things have been going, and we have gotten off of our foundation of biblical principles. You know, a country that was founded on religious, you know, founded really because of religious freedom, and we have so gotten away from that. And there is a lot of anger, and that's why you know, America is really angry about this election and about, you know, wanting to see some change. What else makes you angry? What makes you angry? Injustice. When there's just unfairness. Things are not right. Okay. Now we're getting off of the personal anger now. What makes you personally angry? Personally, like you get angry, like you get mad. Y'all don't have any anger problems, do you? You don't ever get. Oh, when somebody tells you a lie. Bad umpires. Now we're getting down to it. Right there. Now we're getting honesty. I'm going to just tell this on Steve. He won't mind. But I've been around Steve for years. I mean, I've seen him for years. And then I came to Mount Olive and got to know him. I thought, man, that is the nicest guy in the world. Until I played softball with him. And one night he got called out at first. They called him out because he stepped out of the batter's box. Woo! I saw some side of Steve Bass I'd never seen before. Praise the Lord, he's human, just like the rest of us. I know I hope she don't want me saying it, but she gets really angry if she's misrepresented, if somebody misrepresents her. I get angry if I try to do something nice for somebody and it's taken the wrong way or it's rejected. Now, that's one of the things that really hurts my feelings, makes me angry. Okay, now let's take another way to think about it. Who in the Bible do you remember got angry? Okay, Jesus, right? Jesus got angry. Another one? Moses got angry. A lot of times. Moses had a little anger issue, didn't he? He struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock. I heard David. When did David get angry? That's right. God struck Uzzah dead when he reached out to steady the ark, and David got mad about it. David felt like that was an injustice. He got mad at God about it. Okay, who else got angry in the Bible? Who? Martha. Tell us how Martha, when she got angry. That's right. Mary, that lazy girl, she couldn't hear nothing. She got angry. She did. You can see Martha now with flour in her hair and strings and up to her elbows and, you know, cookie dough or whatever. And Martha just sitting there just not doing a blame thing. Who? Apostle Paul. When did he get angry? Yeah, John Mark. He bailed out on him on a missionary journey. And Barnabas said, come on, let's give him another chance. And Paul said, listen, if that's the way you feel about it, you just go your way and I'll go mine. Wow. Who? Cain, like is it Abel and Cain? Cain killed Abel out of anger because God had accepted his offering and rejected Cain's offering. Jesus got angry in righteous indignation whenever they were selling things in the temple. Who else? Anybody else you can think of? Well, sir? Samson, okay, got angry. Yeah, they took his, because they took his wife away, didn't they? And you talking about when he lit all that field on fire? Right. Well, another man that got angry was Jonah. Jonah got angry. And so we're going to look at the anger of Jonah tonight. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and turn to Jonah chapter 4. And I don't think I need to recount the story. You basically know what the story is, how God sent him down to Nineveh. And Jonah said, no, I'm going to Tarshish. He hopped a boat, got on a boat, went down there, got in a storm, thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish, vomited up on the shore, and ended up going to Nineveh anyway, preaching the gospel. Whole bunch of people got saved, and he was still mad, still angry. Let's look at Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. A lot of things that Jonah might have been angry about, we can look at the story, we can see. First of all, one thing he might have been angry about, he might have been angry at the Assyrians, because the Assyrians are the ones that occupied Nineveh, and he just decided he didn't want to have anything to do with going and preaching the gospel in Nineveh because he knew that God was a gracious God. He even says that in the book of Jonah. He says, God, I knew that you were gracious, and I knew that, God, if they repented, that you would not wipe them out. And so Jonah just really didn't want to have anything to do because he knew what the Assyrians were like. The only word we have to describe the Assyrians in the book of Jonah is one word, and that word is wicked. They were wicked. But if you study history and you study the rest of the Bible, you'll find out that they were also ruthless. The Assyrians were ruthless. I'm going to tell you some things that they did to people. One is that they would take people and they would tie people up into the carcass of an animal, alive, and then sick dogs on the carcass. And as the dogs tore into the carcass of the dead animal, they would just tear into those live people that were sewn up into the carcass of the dead animal. The Assyrians were ruthless. I thought of some other things I could tell you, but there's too many kids around here, and I just don't want to say that in front of kids, some of the things they did. But they were ruthless people. There is even some wonder about this, if the reason, because Jonah has this real distaste for the Assyrians. And there's been some speculation about that maybe Jonah's family had been attacked by the Assyrians. Maybe Jonah's family, some of his family members, had been killed by the Assyrians. And so for whatever reason, Jonah was angry or could have been angry at the Assyrians. Another thing that Jonah could have been angry about at this point in the story, end of the story, he could have been angry about the fish. I mean, he goes and he's thrown overboard. One of the things I love about Jonah is he's kind of an easygoing guy. I mean, you know, he jumps the ship. He doesn't want to go to Nineveh, but he jumps the ship. He gets on the ship, and the guys say, well, why aren't you praying? Why don't you pray to your God? And he says, y'all, I am the problem. I mean, he just comes right out. He's honest. He's angry, but he's honest. He comes out right out and says, y'all, I'm the problem because I'm running from God. And they say, well, what do we do? He says, well, throw me over. He's a really good-natured guy, isn't he? And they say, well, we don't want to do that. want you to just pray and let's see if we can. And the storm won't come. And so what do? They end up saying, okay, Jonah, if you think that'll solve the problem. And they chunk Jonah over the bow of the ship or into the water. Along comes the fish and swallows him up. Now, J. Vernon McGee believes that Jonah actually died in the belly of the fish. I don't think so. I think he spent 3 days in the fish. Y'all, I've been around fish. I've caught fish. I've eaten fish. I've never been inside a fish. I can imagine it's not a very pleasant experience. And so maybe Jonah's still angry about the fish. It says in chapter 2, verse 10, that the fish vomited Jonah upon the beach. Maybe Jonah's not too happy about being vomit because he's been in the belly of that fish. Maybe you could say some people get angry about failure. But Jonah wasn't a failure because Jonah went to Nineveh. He preached the gospel. I mean, even the king was saying, we need to repent, put on sackcloth and ashes, and we need to get right with God. And the whole place repented. And so he couldn't have been angry about being a failure, but he could have been angry about his calling. What was his calling? Let's look back at chapter 1, verse 2. We'll see what his calling is. God calls him, says, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against that city, for their wickedness has come up before me. And so maybe he was not happy about his calling as a prophet, because he was a prophet. Jonah is a prophet. He is a minor prophet, and he goes to Nineveh and he preaches against them. He cries out against them. He says, you better repent. You know, God's going to destroy this place, and that's basically what he does. He just preaches, repent. You know, God's going to kill you. God's going to kill you. That was his message. I mean, he didn't have 3 points in a poem. It was like, God's going to kill you. If you don't repent, you better repent, because God's going to destroy this place. Another kind of a clue to his calling was chapter 3, verse 4. When he finally does get to Nineveh, he enters the city. It says, and Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And so his message was not a very happy message. You know, there are some pastors that are prophetic in their preaching, more prophetic, and they don't really, you know, there's not a lot of happy, it's not like a lot of sugar sticks that you're going to get from a prophetic speaker. Jonah was prophetic. He wasn't playing around. He wasn't going to give them three steps to happiness or three, you know, 4 steps to a better marriage. You know, he was saying, listen, you guys are wrong. You better repent or you're going to be overthrown. And so maybe he wasn't too happy about his calling. Another thing that we know he wasn't happy about, this actually happens after verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, is when he, after it's all over with, he's mad. He goes, sits under in the desert, and God causes a bush to grow up over him, gives him some nice shade. But then, chapter 4, verse 8, listen to what happens. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. And then he wished death for himself and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And so, it could have been that Jonah was angry about the bush being eaten by the worm. But you know what the real problem was? Jonah was angry with God. Jonah was mad at God. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. After God saw their works, in chapter 3, verse 10, it says, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. And so Jonah got mad at God because God didn't wipe out Nineveh, because Jonah had been going around telling everybody that God was going to wipe out Nineveh. But when they repented, God relented, and he didn't wipe out the city. And look at chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? All kinds of things make us angry. People make us angry. Our country sometimes makes us angry. We get angry when a situation doesn't go our way. You mean, how many of y'all have gotten angry standing in line at the Walmart? You pick the shortest line, it ends up being the longest line. It's like you get mad about it, right? How many of you have done that? Y'all are honest tonight, aren't you? We do. We get mad about stuff like that. But let me ask you this question. Is God in charge of every situation? Isn't he in charge of every situation? Even when you get stuck in the long line? It is so hard for us to remind ourselves of that. I mean, we get stuck in that line, and we're like, and especially it always happens when we're in a hurry. And I think God does it on purpose. Okay? And we get stuck, and we're waiting, and we get nervous, and we get, you know, or it's just like when you're in a hurry, you get every red light. You catch every single red light. And we need to remind ourselves in those times. Let me give you some verses. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 says, in your anger, do not sin. Ephesians 4:31, at the end of that passage of Scripture, it says this, and this is to Christians, because Ephesians was written to a group of Christians. He's writing to Christians, and he says to Christians, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Now, y'all, listen. Those things go together. Because anger can turn to rage, and if we're not very careful, rage and anger can turn to bitterness. It says get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger. Get rid of brawling and slander along with every form of malice. This guy was at an Amish school one day, and he was watching the kids on the playground, and it wasn't like a typical playground. Because these kids were really, they weren't yelling, they weren't screaming, they weren't raising their voice, they were just so polite, and they were, yes, and thank you, and they were standing there watching these kids, and they said, wow, how in the world is it that these Amish kids are so respectful and don't raise their voice? And the guy turned to him and says, well, have you ever seen an Amish adult raise his voice? Kids watch us. They pay attention to what's going on around them. Get rid of all that stuff. James chapter 1, 19 says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to become angry. Proverbs 29:11 says, fools give full vent to their anger. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Y'all, let me tell you what the key is, okay? One of the most angry places we get is where? In Colquitt County. It's the tag office, right? How many of you ever got to the tag office and you have problems in the tag office? Or any government. You know, I'll tell you another place we get angry is the Department of Transportation, DOT, or the Department of Driver Services. You ever going to try to get your license renewed? How many of you have gotten angry getting your license renewed? We go in there, and this is what I've learned, folks. Those people deal with angry people all day long. They deal with angry people constantly. So what you do is you go in there with a smile on your face. It's amazing what will happen if you go in there and you have a smile on your face and you treat that person with courtesy and respect. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. sometimes we try to give excuses for our anger. We say, well, it just kind of runs in our family. Or we say, well, I just like to get it out. It's always short-lived, and then it's over with. Adrian Rogers says, you know what? So is a tornado. But look at the damage it causes. Adrian Rogers wrote a little article. I'm going to give you three things he said and how to deal with anger. What are we going to do about anger? First thing is this, confess your anger. Confess your anger. We can do a couple of things. We can express our anger, we can repress our anger, or we can confess our anger. To express our anger, usually not going to get what we're after. To repress our anger is not healthy, it's not good. So the best thing for us to do is to go to the Lord and just confess that anger. Go to the Lord and say, Dear Lord, you're dealing with a customer. You're in a situation. You don't have to close your eyes. You can if you want to. You're in a family situation, husband and wife. We have anger sometimes when husbands, wives, children. Learn to say, Dear Lord, I am getting so angry right now. God, I feel like I am being mistreated. God, I don't agree with this. I think this is wrong. But God, I know you're sovereign. You're a sovereign God. I know you're able to handle this situation, Lord. And I know that for me to stand here and to get angrier and angrier and anger is going to turn into rage. And then it probably, if I don't deal with it, it'll turn into bitterness. And so, God, I'm just going to give you this right now. Praise you, God, that you're going to take care of this. God, this is a situation. I'm just going to commit the situation to you, Lord. I've been mistreated. I have not been treated fairly. But God, I'm just going to confess this to you. And I confess, Lord, my sin of anger right now. I just pray, God, you'd forgive me for this anger. And you know what might happen? You know what's probably going to happen? You're going to say amen. And about 3 minutes later, you're going to have to be saying the same prayer. Okay? You have to pray it again. Okay? Because it's going to come back. Repressed anger. Adrian Rogers says, repressed anger. When we try to repress our anger, we're just going to try to bottle it up. He said, repressed anger is like putting a fire in a wastebasket and putting the wastebasket in a closet. It's going to do one of two things. It's going to either burn itself out or it's going to burn the house down. Don't repress your anger. Confess your anger. There it is, Lord. There it is. You can have it. Now, after you confess your anger, second thing Adrian Rogers suggests is this. You need to consider anger. Consider anger. Ask yourselves a couple of questions. One is this. What is God trying to teach me in this situation? What is God trying to do in me? What is God trying to accomplish in my life? What is the best case scenario of what God is doing here? Because I'll tell you why a lot of times we get angry. We get angry sometimes because we don't know the whole story. We don't know what that person behind the counter has been through. We don't know what an employer or an employee might be dealing with. And there's always a best case scenario. See, here's Jonah. He is so angry at God. Jonah chapter 4, verse 9. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, Jonah said, is it right for me to be angry, even to death? But then the Lord said, you've had pity on the plant for which you have not labored. You didn't make it grow. It came up in the night, and it perished in the night. And then God says to Jonah, should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and there is much livestock there. God's saying, Jonah, I understand you're angry. I get it. But Jonah, there are 120,000 children in that city. And if Jonah, if you're going to be so upset about a plant and you're going to grieve over the loss of a plant, Can I not grieve over the loss of 120,000 children, not including adults? God's saying, Jonah, you don't know what's going on here. You don't have the full picture. You're not seeing this from the right perspective. What is the big picture? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. You know, let me just say this. That verse is one of the keys to living the Christian life. And the key phrase in that verse is renewing the mind. Renewing the mind. You know, thoughts come, renew the mind. You know that I read one time where in a mountain stream, every 7 miles, that mountain stream will purify itself. In other words, if there's a dead animal in the stream, that water going over the rocks and over through the grass will become pure in 7 miles, and it keeps running continuously. And with our mind, we have to continuously renew the mind. We have to continuously confess, consider. And then the last thing is this, control. Control your anger. You say, well, I can't control it. Oh, yeah, you can control it. How many of y'all have ever had this happen? This happens. This happens to us. I'm not going to give you any details because I'd be in a lot of trouble. But you got something planned, like an event or a dinner. You got guests coming, or you got an event coming up, and then you know everybody's their tension kind of runs high. How many of y'all tend to have arguments like right before a big event? Okay, don't raise your hand because none of you are going to raise your hand. But we do. We have, or maybe you and your wife or. Or having a discussion, and you're just, boy, you're angry, and you're, and then all of a sudden the phone rings, go, hello. You can control it. You can control your anger. Psalm 29:11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind. Y'all hear that? A fool tells you everything that's on their mind. You ever heard somebody say, well, I just gave them a piece of my mind? Well, they're probably a fool because they gave everything they had on their mind. It says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. A wise man doesn't say everything he thinks. Doesn't always say what he thinks. There's a story about Edwin Stanton. He was the war secretary for Abraham Lincoln, and he had an officer one time that accused him of favoritism. He accused Edwin Stanton of favoritism, and Edwin Stanton got extremely angry about it. I mean, he was furious because he was a very fair man, and so he went to the president, Abraham Lincoln, and he says, what do you think I'll do about this? And Abraham Lincoln says, what you need to do is you need to sit down and you need to write him a letter and you need to tell him exactly what's on your mind. And so Edwin Stanton did. He sat down, he wrote a very sharp letter. He put in there, boy, he was really cutting this guy and he was telling him all about it. He was giving him what for. Then he brought the letter back to Abraham Lincoln. He said, here's the letter. Lincoln read the letter. That's a good letter. What you going to do with it? Edwin Stanton said, well, I'm going to send it. He said, why are you going to do that? He said, you don't need to send that letter. He said, what you need to do with that letter is you need to put it in the stove and burn it up because you had a good time writing it. You said what you needed to say, and now you need to sit down and write another letter. And that's all it takes for us sometimes, folks. We need to step back. Confess it to God. Consider the circumstances. And then control your anger. Okay? Goes a long way. Let's pray. Father, just pray for... your will to be done in our lives. Lord, I know that we all face with situations, Lord. There's some folks here right now that were mistreated as children. God, they've had some very mean things done to them, and there's some very bad things done to them. And God, they're still carrying that around. And Father, there's some situations we've been unjustly treated, Lord. There was someone in the past, Lord, who stole us, who stole money from us, Lord, or who did us wrong in a deal, or Father, who promised us something they never delivered. They lied to us. They deceived us. They betrayed us. They broke a covenant. And God, unfortunately, they never dealt with the anger. They went through rage. And it settled in their life as bitterness. Father, I pray that you help us to get that out. God, we don't have to make a big show of it. We don't have to come tell the pastor about it. We may need to come to the altar and just talk to you about it. God, but I just pray that you'd help us not to let bitterness take root in our lives. And Father, help us to deal with the anger and get that out of our systems. God, we thank you for your love and your grace. I think about the mercy of Jesus, and I'm so thankful for his mercy, his kindness, his goodness. Oh, and Lord, we know there are times anger is justified, Lord. Jesus was righteously angry. Father, we see injustice and we see immorality and we just see rampant disdain for the Word of God and for the things of God. It makes us angry, Lord. We see things happening, Lord. It does. It does bring rage, Lord. God, I just pray that we wouldn't let the old enemy get a foothold in our life, though. Father, the Bible says, rejoice always. Father, even in a country, Lord, we're standing for what's truthful. We're standing for what's right. God, help this situation in our country not to steal our joy. God, help restore that to us, Lord. Restore our joy. Pray, Lord, that you just deal with each heart, Lord. Deal with my heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.